All right.
This will be a short podcast.
I always say that. I'll be back tomorrow to kind of do some house cleaning and to talk about the games this week. And I wanted to talk about Nick Saban and his retirement. I know that Pete Carroll has retired. Pete Carroll's retirement isn't as big as Nick Saban's. I'll talk about this briefly, 5, 10, maybe 20 minutes, and then I'm peacing out. I'm like in the middle of doing homework as well, and I got to get a good night's sleep. I'll be back for Thursday's podcast. Technically, today is Thursday, but bear with me on this. Nick Saban, the greatest head coach of all time in college football, has retired. I don't know what the information is. I hate that I am working with so little information tonight. I would rather have significantly more information, more time. I don't know if he's going to address the school and the fans and the alumni and things of that nature. In my opinion, he doesn't really have to because he's the greatest head coach of all time. I don't know if there's anyone that can compete with Nick Saban currently or in the future as it regards to college football and college athletics when it comes to overall career success and impact on the sport. Here's the thing, right? I don't want to wax poetically about Nick Saban, and the same thing kind of goes and flows with Bill Belichick and Pete Carroll. I don't want to wax poetically and say and give all of the reasons why they're the greatest, why Nick Saban is the greatest football coach of all time in college. I don't want to do that because I feel like it kind of disrespects his legacy, because it's like, if you don't already know, you'll never know what Nick Saban means to college football. You'll never know. So I feel like I don't have to say it. You know what I'll say? It. 7-time world champion. Multiple SEC championships. Over 100 wins. 29 losses. That's greatness. Roll Tide! Nick Saban absolutely revolutionized and galvanized college football. He made the sport impactful, fun, and interesting to watch for over 30 years. And he revolutionized, revitalized, energized, elevated, motivated, and most importantly, substantiated his claims at Alabama as the greatest head coach of all time. By bringing back to prosperity a team, a school, an organization, a football program that was in, when it comes to the success of the football program, that was in poverty, that was in purgatory. Not to speak with such prose, but it's just Nick Saban took Alabama from really a god-awful football team in like 2006, 2007 when he first got there, and he elevated it to essentially the greatest football program of the last 17 years. It was epic. The run was epic. I remember I saw a football player for Alabama, former football player, I don't know who he is. He said that he talked about how Nick Saban, when he's addressing the freshman class, he's like, "This is Alabama, we don't need you as players, you need Alabama." He said that to the freshman players. He was like, "You guys have been superstars everywhere you've been, but here at Alabama, we got guys that are good all over the place." But he also said at the end of the speech that when he retires, when Nick Saban retires, they will find somebody else to replace him. Let me put it to you like this. Let me say it with my damn chest. There is nobody that will ever replace the GOAT, Nick Saban. We literally named the college football playoffs the Alabama Invitational because every single time Alabama was invited, they would pretty much win. Except for this year. And against Georgia. I don't want to talk about it. May the college football playoffs, completely owned by Alabama, absolutely dominated the sport for over 17 years. Great career. changed the way that college football recruits because people hated how successful he was. It's not his fault. He's better than you. It's not his fault. Just say he's better than you. Just admit Nick Saban is better than you. Not was, is. He's better. He's better than the majority of college football coaches. That's why college football was so obnoxious to me. And it's why he was so much... It's why just the simpletons, the losers, you know, in college football, moaning and groaning about how Nick Saban had absolutely dominated them for 10 years, why they had to change the recruiting rules. And then Nick Saban found ways either to go through those rules or around those rules to get the same exact players that he had always gotten. Get coaches, get great coaches. Elevate those coaches. Now those coaches are going to different programs, coaching different programs. You're welcome. Nick Saban won't say it. I'll say it. You're welcome, Lane Kiffin and Kirby Smart. You're welcome for your jobs at Ole Miss and Georgia. Hundreds, potentially thousands of players going into the NFL straight out of Alabama. Changed lives. If you care about sports, if you love football, I don't love college football. I like college football. I tolerate college football because of the excellence that Nick Saban had set out to achieve and constantly accomplished and achieved it while he was the head coach of Alabama. I really hope it's not true. I don't know if it's true. It feels like I'm in a fever dream. I'm in some type of a parallel universe. I have no idea what is going on, which is why I'm like, are we sure he's retired? Are we sure he's retired? I'm just asking. It's out of the blue. It's 2 weeks after he lost in the college football semifinals. This is exactly what Nick said. I don't understand what's going on. I don't understand it. Is this real? Everybody's reporting like it is, but it's also like this is the biggest name in college football ever. Bigger than all the players, bigger than all the coaches. I don't care. I don't care about your legacy. I don't care about this player. I don't care about this kid. I don't care. I don't care. They don't matter. They don't matter as much as Nick Saban does. Going back to that speech, before I absolutely lost my mind, I said that Nick Saban was humble enough to address his players when he was talking about how Alabama doesn't need them, that when he retires, Alabama will find somebody else. They will not find another coach that can even sniff the whistle that Nick Saban would blow into to essentially organize the players every single time he was at practice. That's not going to happen. I remember hearing the names that they were trying to get for head coach at Alabama, and I was like, none of these guys can even sniff Nick Saban's jockstrap, and he doesn't even play football anymore. It's like 60 years since he played football. They still can't sniff his 60-year-old jockstrap. That's disgusting. I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to say. Some people are like, yes, finally we can win. Well, hell, there's now a 12-year or 12-team college football playoffs. You got what you wanted. What is the status of Alabama? I don't know. I don't care. Ask me in 6 months. I don't care about Alabama right now. I care about Nick Saban. The reason why I'm a fan of Alabama isn't because of history. It's not because of legacy. It's because Nick Saban was a head coach. Now who am I going to root for in college football? College football is officially boring. I mean, polarity is as much fun as people care about polarity and stuff like that. I wanted higher levels of competition. I wanted better games, better players, better organizations. For every college football coach that was bitching and moaning about Nick Saban for 17 years and winning all those damn championships, let me put something on you, okay? You may win a national championship now. Hey, congratulations. Couldn't beat him when he was playing or when he was coaching. But when I think of Nick Saban's absence, I think of a coach that was smarter and better than everyone in the room and worked incredibly hard and found ways to essentially win, found ways to be successful. And I watch all of these head coaches. I remember I saw the head coach of Oregon talk about Deion Sanders' football program and all that good stuff. And I'm like, hey, man, I've seen you at Oregon for I don't know how many years, and you haven't done anything. I've seen Florida State fumble and bumble around. I saw somebody talk about the athletic director for Alabama, and they were talking about, well, you know, I trust in the athletic director. I don't. Granted, Nick Saban hasn't won a championship in 4 years, which for him, that's a long time. But for everybody else, that is a lifetime. Because they'll never win a championship. They got to go with a conference championship. Oh, we won a conference championship. Who cares? You didn't beat Saban. You didn't beat him in the Natty. You didn't beat him consistently. No coaches have been able to say that. No coach has been able to say, I've beaten Nick Saban consistently. Even Kirby Smart got Nick Saban, what, twice? Beyond that? That was it? I'd have the greatest, pretty much, defense in the history of college football to beat Nick Saban. The landscape of college football will change. I don't know if it's for the better or if it's for the worse. It's very hard. It really is hard to know how college football will go or where college football will go from here. I'm a bit concerned with it because college football to me is already boring to watch because college football doesn't really have a whole lot of interesting, fun games. Maybe there's an argument to be had when it comes to college football, specifically in the college football playoffs now because you have that 12-team playoff game. But other than that, college football is kind of a snooze fest. And so then you can kind of make the leap forward, right? And you can say, well, what's going to happen to all the Alabama players? I don't know. I don't know if Nick Saban is gone. I don't know if he's retiring fully. I don't know if he's in an advisory role or position or whatever. I don't know. I don't know if he's going to come back. He's 72 years old. He's a grandfather. He's one of the oldest head coaches still coaching. That's relevant. It's like him and Bill Belichick. I don't know. Alabama, to me, is done. Dynasty's over with. This is, to me, like what happened when Michael Jordan left the Chicago Bulls. LeBron James left the Lakers. Or not the Lakers, but the Cleveland Cavaliers. The first and the second time around. And Tom Brady left the New England Patriots. Those players, not to say that Nick Saban obviously was a football player, and that's why Alabama had success for 17 years. But those players were the core, the fabric of their organizations. They were the reason why their organizations won. I mean, you look at the Bulls. The Bulls have been horrific since Michael Jordan left. LeBron's Cavs are like maybe making the playoffs here and like last year. They made the playoffs last year. They maybe will make it this year. I don't know. I don't follow the Cavs. The Cavs are boring. Tom Brady and the New England Patriots is self-explanatory. He wins his championship after leaving the New England Patriots for Tampa Bay. New England is now drafting in the top five, I think, this year. Those players had impact. Nick Saban has impact, and it was automatic. I don't know who they're going to hire. But it's hard to fill the shoes, the boots of Zeus, the king of the gods in Greek mythology, right? I've read so many interesting stories around Greek mythology. Ironically enough, we got one great TV show. Apparently, I haven't seen an episode of it, but I've seen clips of it, and I've seen people talk about it, and they're excited about the Percy Jackson and the Olympians series. But the cool thing about Percy Jackson and the Olympians is that it talks a lot about Greek mythology. And it has so many different takes on Zeus and, you know, on the Greek pantheon of gods, and then minor gods, and then also the monsters and the legends and the fables and the, you know, the characters within it and within the within Greek mythology. It's a great story. Great stories in Percy Jackson. And in Percy Jackson's series, the Olympian series, and all that good stuff, Zeus is the head of the Greek pantheon, as he is in practically every storyline. And as obnoxious and as flawed as he is as a deity, he is practically irreplaceable. Like, Zeus is a douchebag, but the gods need him because he's powerful. He's a leader. He's the leader of the gods. Nick Saban isn't liked because he wins, but he's irreplaceable. He's irreplaceable. And let me say this. I said it when Tom Brady retired, I think the first time around. I said, irreplaceable football player, greatest of all time. We will miss him every single day that he is gone. We'll miss Tom. We haven't really missed him that much because, to be honest with you, the quarterback talent in the NFL is spectacular. It's great. It's fantastic. We miss the moments. We miss the huge fourth quarter comebacks. We miss the greatness that he instilled. But there are players and the amalgamation of the quarterbacks. The cool thing about having so many awesome quarterbacks that were affected by Tom's legacy, that watched him play, the cool thing about that is that we don't have to have a bad league of bad quarterbacks that don't really care about the position and kind of go through the motions. It's actually quite admirable that Tom inspired so many great players to take up the mantle and essentially be great. Be great football players. It's fantastic. But LeBron will miss. We'll miss LeBron. We'll miss him, especially with the Lakers. And Nick Saban will miss as well. Again, I don't know what their plan is. I don't know what Alabama's plan is. I don't think it's going to be a good plan. I'll be honest with you. But there's really not a lot they can do because they don't really have another Nick Saban in their back pocket. You know, in the last couple of hours, a lot of people have made, you know, they've speculated on who's going to be the next Alabama Crimson Tide head coach, and all of the players or all of the coaches that they've suggested all sound like terrible replacements to me. And again, it's because of the boots that they have to fill. You can't fill Zeus's shoes. You can't. I guess a better analogy would have been Kylo Ren to Darth Vader. It's like, you can't fill those shoes. Disney tried, they failed. But man, oh man. Shocker. Absolutely shocked. I am still not convinced that he's retired. I'm going to wait a couple of days, but if he is retired, fantastic career, greatest college head coach of all time, not even close. One of potentially the best minds in regards to college football. And wow, just unbelievable, unbelievable, unbelievable decision by him in the last couple of hours. That's just an absolute stunner for me. But he deserves his retirement. I'm happy for him. I didn't think this day would come. I thought he was going to coach, to be honest with you, until he's 80. But again, Nick Saban, interestingly enough, in the last couple of years has kind of become more reflective. He has, you know, he has kids. He has daughter. I think he has a daughter, and you think he has a son as well. And he also has grandkids. And he's like, he probably wants to spend time with his family. He sacrificed a lot. He's even admitted that his, and more importantly, he's even admitted that his family sacrificed a lot for him to continue to do what he wants to do and be a head coach in the NFL. And also, not in the NFL, but in college. And also just kind of do his thing. It's great when people who are successful for all the right reasons get to end and leave on their own terms. And he's leaving on his own terms. And it's sad and it sucks. But I'm perfectly fine with it. Anyways, I am peacing out for the night. Let me take a swig. Hold on. I'm going to see you tomorrow. Roll Tide. Goodbye, Nick Saban. Best of luck to you. I don't want to say best of luck to you in your retirement. You know? I'm just going to say he has and has earned a well-deserved retirement. Because he's worked hard. Why does he need luck? He's created luck. I'll see you tomorrow. 24's Podcast.